and welcome everybody to Great American Golf. Thank you so much for joining. I'm Ray Adams. I'm your caddy for the show for all these 26 years. Can you even believe it? One of the longest running golf radio shows in the United States. And I'm told by my researchers that I might very well be the longest running golf radio show in the United States that is on the same time, same days. Because many others mix, move around over the years. Not me. Okay. All of that said, you find me on Golf News Net, thegolfnewsnet.com. And you'll find me there on the days of the shows. Saturdays in the morning early, Arizona time, 6 to 7 a.m. Mondays, 6 to 7 p.m. Arizona time. Although the shows are all over the United States by way of the Golf News Net. .com. And then after a couple of days there, they're sent over to all the big audio podcasting platforms. Lots of new information coming out. And also my happy birthday to the United States of America, America's 250th birthday golf gift guide is coming out. Now, we're only going to do this once in a lifetime, right? There's only 250th birthday once. Will we all make it to the 300th birthday? Well, we certainly hope so, and we might. Many of you are going to. But for now, let's just say this is the only America's birthday golf gift guide, and it's going to go out right around the end of June, 1st of July. Lots of great companies already want to be in it. And if you'd like to receive it, I need your email address to get on my big list, which puts you into all of my gift guides and holiday guides and newsletters through the year. Write to me, golfadams@msn.com. I want to welcome Craig Renshaw. He is our resident Great American Golf professional. He just surpassed his 25th year as a PGA professional, receiving all of his due and proper credentials, documents, his PIN, and everything else. He's going to become a lifer here soon, too. Craig, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you.
Again. And Dr. Bob Denny, Dr. Bob, he is the number one greatest golf historian in the United States of America alive today. Now, name me one better, you folks. He is the golf historian for the PGA of America Emeritus. Now, if you can name me one better, I'd like to know. Go right ahead. I dare you. I'm teasing. It's always great to have Bob and Craig together when the three musketeers, the three whatever we are, can be together on the same show. And I'm very grateful for that today. Well, it's all U.S. Open. The United States Men's Open is happening. I said that it would be a watered down version of a U.S. Open. When I said that a few days ago, little did I know that it's literally being watered down. Once or twice a day, syringes, injections, facelifts. I don't know what we're called. I'm teasing, of course, folks. Come on now. But there is a lot of water being put out on this golf course in order to not lose the greens, Craig, in order to not have a Shinnecock of old happen. And the USGA said they're using it as a bit of a redemption U.S. Open because they want to, well, redeem themselves from past U.S. Opens at Shinnecock. And we know how brutal those can be. We also remember that Phil Mickelson had a brutal U.S. Open at Shinnecock a few years back where he was chasing a ball. He putted running away from him. And then he backhanded his putter, knocking it backwards, and then lied to the press about it, which everybody already knows that. I'm not saying anything bad. And then, of course, he came out a few days later and apologized, and they gave him, I think, a couple of strokes or whatever. Bob, you can clean all this up if you want to later. I think he should have been disqualified. There were reasons why he wasn't. So this Shinnecock has a very storied history of great, great golf, but golf that is trouble. It is trouble to play a U.S. Open at Shinnecock. Let me start with you, Craig. Your first take overall, we have a wonderful leaderboard, although so many are under par, as I said. I'm not going to say the course is playing easy. Oh, no, it's not. But it is playing more gettable than I think so far in these two rounds, Thursday and Friday, that it would usually play. So, Craig, what's your take?
Well, I think that's a fair assessment. I think that that's the way you have to play Shinnecock. If you want to take it on the edge, then or let it get out of hand, then you're going to take it the other way. I mean, if you get the wind and you're going to play it at green speeds that are faster than fast, then you're going to possibly lose it. But if you're going to play it under control and keep the greens soft enough that they don't die out and all this stuff is because it's the soil drains very quickly and everything. I mean, it's nothing that they're doing wrong. You just have to understand how you got to treat the golf course. It's not an unusual week for Shinnecock right now, but if it was member play, they'd be doing more than that to keep it wet and everything like that. So if you're going to take it toward the extreme, then you're going to have to take a chance that if the weather gets a little hotter and it gets a little windier at all, you're going to lose it. I think it's nice the USGA is taking this approach. It'd be nice to see if they continue it over the weekend when getting everybody in won't be the problem, but they got so many people on the golf course these 2 days, they got to treat it a little differently. They widen the fairways. It's a nice challenge out there right now. I'm not saying it's easy. I don't think player, even though, Clark is seven under, I don't think he would say it's a walk in the park. It can grab you at any time. So, but I don't mind seeing it like this right now.
Bob, your initial take, just some initial comments, and then we're going to drill down to specifics.
Well, I watched and listened to the reports of those who've been on the golf course, and the wind has died down for the second shifts in most of the first two rounds, and that's made the gettable part of it. But there is 25 to 30 mile an hour gusts at times in the morning rounds, and that has not been as it's not a popcorn golf course by any means, but it has become a fairer golf course because of the syringing of the greens. And when I say syringing, if you've ever watched anybody syringe a green, they have a special hose that gives it like a Zasper spray over the tops, thinking like, for instance, you're in the backyard playing with kids and try to give them a spurs, but it gives a nice, dewy look to the greens, then the wind just completely dries it out. Because this is a golf course that is America's answer to the links of Scotland. It's cut out there on that part of Long Island where it automatically dries out like you wouldn't believe it. It's that
Right.
fast. So there's an opportunity to make it balanced. Still, the toughest holes, if anybody's been watching it, are still the par threes. Number two, number seven, number 11, number 17. They're still the toughest holes out there, and I can say one thing about Mr. Clark, that 42% of the last 50 years, 42% of those that held a 36-hole lead went on to win.
Okay, very good. And he set the U.S. Open record on Thursday, shooting a 64 in what were very, very difficult conditions, Craig.
Yeah,
So
I you
Wyndham
know
Clark can play some golf. We watched him win the U.S. Open at L.A. Country Club when I was there covering it as media when he won there a few years back. Lives here in the Phoenix area, I am told. I am going to be working feverishly on getting him to sit down with me and do a television episode. Bob, go ahead.
I was going to just say that the first round score was 64. Johnny Miller shot a 63 in the final round and 73. So that's the first round record, not the overall.
Yeah, no, yeah. Sorry. Thanks for clarifying that. I didn't want to communicate that. Yeah, you're right. Well, he's 700 under par. Craig, that's a little low for two rounds at a U.S. Open and especially at Shinnecock. So, am I right when I said they watered it down a bit?
Well, I think they've done a couple of things. Like I said, they've widened it extremely more, and they've made a point to point out on TV that the greens are only at 10.5. They made a point to make sure that they're watering. You can see by the way the shots are being receptive into the green and all these little things that they did. they are doing their darndest to make sure they don't lose it.
But they know they're making the golf course easier and the scores are showing it. I mean, do we really want a US Open to be won at 12, 14, 15 under par? Really?
Well, but see, I would argue that if they let the golf course get away, I can't be for sure, but we were on the radio together because we talked about it. I believe if the golf course gets away from them, that is four of them in a row. And I don't care what Shinnecock's history is. If you keep having to have it there and you lose control of the greens, why do you keep taking it there?
I got a great idea. No more Shinnecock for US
I mean,
Opens.
right. I agree. But that's my point, is that you can't have it both ways. And every time they try to make it more difficult, they lose it. They lose it. So if you're either going to live with what's being played out there right now, or you're going to have to take it to the edge, and there's a chance, and every time they do it, they lose it. So maybe they'll just lose it on the weekend. Maybe they'll just lose it on Sunday. That may be what they try to do, but they're doing a fine job, but that's the way Shinnecock's going to be. I mean, you got a golf course that's 100 some odd years old. We keep seeing that when these golfers nowadays play these old golf courses, unless I don't want to use the word trick, but that's what I'm going to use. If you don't trick them up or play them on the edge, that's what today's golfers do. They tear them up. They do.
Well, we're going to talk about Mr. DeChambeau's 400 plus yard drive, rolling back the golf ball. Excuse me, I choked on those words for fear of outright laughter and what a hot mess that thing is. But before we do that, Dr. Bob, they're asking me, does Bob have a nugget for us, Ray?
Is it okay to bring up Juneteenth?
All right, let's go there because we're
Okay.
going to connect. And by the way, folks, Bob is going to connect this to golf, and I'm fascinated by this. Today is a federal holiday known as Juneteenth.
Right.
There's
It
a
was
reason
established in
for it.
2021.
Take over, Bob.
It was established in 2021 by Congress. It goes back to the Civil War and how troops had never announced and been in the Galveston, Texas area to let the enslaved people there know that the war was over with. There had been emancipation 2.5 years earlier. They had never heard the news until at that point in 1865 in June. And they consider it now the second Independence Day in America. So Juneteenth is honored by all those that had to go through the horrible times of in slavery and so forth. What it relates to golf today specifically is the fact that Mr. William Powell of East Canton, Ohio, who built Clearview Golf Course, home for Renee and Larry Powell now, he was born as a grandson of an enslaved people in Alabama. And how interesting it was, unique, that his paternal grandfather, who was in the plantation and was suffering from the enslavement, they moved to Detroit, got out away out from Alabama, and he was able to grow up in that environment, move it forth, go and be a success, and go to World War II, serve in D-Day, come back, etc. And he is the proud the late Mr. Powell was the visionary designer of America's course, Clearview Golf Course.
Isn't that wonderful? What a great nugget. Nice history. Sad history in some regards, great history in other. And we all need to know that there's still slavery going on around the world. Am I wrong, Bob and Craig?
No, it exists. It
It
certainly
does
exists.
exist. Yep.
You've got sex trafficking, human trafficking. You've got outright slavery in countries that we read about.
Middle East, the Middle East.
So we live in America, the beautiful. We live in the United States of America. Over 250 years, we've had our mistakes. We've had our battles, both outwardly and inwardly, defending this country. Hats off, hearts out, and prayers out for all of our fabulous military, both men and women alike, from day one of this country. Going back to the Revolutionary War and forward, there are still things that we need to work on. This is not a political show. This is just one citizen, just, one person crying in the wilderness to ask that God continues to bless our country and for us to be a world global leader and light in these horrific human, devastating sins that happen around the world. Final comment, Craig, 15 seconds, and then Bob on this.
It's not a fun thing, and it'd be nice if we could get rid of all of it, but it's a little bit at a time.
Bob?
I encourage many to try to get to Washington, D.C. and visit the Smithsonian African American History Culture Museum just to study how our culture has changed and how it gravitates from past to present. I think everybody would find it be a very worthwhile visit.
Well, if you've not been to Washington, D.C., folks, you've got to go. It's a wonderful summer vacation holiday for you and your family. The number two, the Smithsonian, is, I guess, the greatest museum in the world. And I've been all through the many buildings of it, but it was a long time ago, and we want to go again. And I highly recommend it to you. It's a beautiful city. And of course, it's the seat of our American government. And all the monuments and the libraries and the museums and all the beautiful places to go and the famous places to eat. I remember having lunch the last time I was there, and it tells you how long ago this was, a long time ago. I was having lunch at a very, very famous grill, and Teddy Kennedy was at the table right next to me, the lion of the Senate,
The
having
Capitol
his
Grill, right?
cap. Yes. And the food fabulous. And I was definitely a fan and a spectator and in awe of really being in our nation's capital. So Juneteenth is today, folks. Study up on it. It's a federal holiday, so your banks and posts and other businesses are closed, and everything will be back open either tomorrow or certainly on Monday. Back to the U.S. Open. Somebody just wrote to me and said the course is playing too easy, Craig.
Well, that's like I said, that's the chance you take. They can make it faster and and then 24 hours from now it'll be unplayable. So I mean that's the chance that they got to take. And but they were going to do that the first two rounds anyway. It'll be interesting to see what they do over the final two rounds.
Right. Now, let's talk about the ball rollback because it has come up this week at the US Open. It is being discussed because this past week, the USGA and the RNA and said, okay, it's not going to be 2027 anymore. Now it's 2030. So they keep kicking the ball down the fairway. I see how I did that. You should be really excited. Instead of saying kicking the can down the road, Bob, wasn't it clever? All right, come on, we're having a joke. So they do. They keep moving it forward, forward, forward. But I think they need to move it backwards, backward, backwards. And we need to get this thing done. I think everybody's tired for it. I am. And when you see Bryson DeChambeau, and of course, he is a monster driver of the ball, the most interesting man in the game, I think, worldwide. And I love Bryson. I've interviewed him. He's an interesting guy, the mad scientist. But when he hits an over 400-yard drive, Craig, and he's only got 45 yards, little pitch shot layup. That ain't golf. That is not golf.
And how many strokes is he leading the tournament by?
He's gonna
Well,
miss the cut.
yeah,
Well,
so
I understand. I understand. But still, it's just unrelatable to the folks. Now,
and
on the.
it's the third cut of the majors this year. It's the third one he's going to miss, I believe.
That's right.
I think so. And he's got to get off of LIV and get back to tournament golf
Oh,
week in and week
that's
out.
crap. How about
Don't
live
you
and let
think?
die?
But Craig, don't you think that the guys that are on LIV, don't you think they need to get back to the hard-fought week in and week out tournament tough four rounds with a cut PGA Tour golf? Don't you think they need to get back to that? And if and when they do, over a period of time, these greatest players in the world will come through. Where am I going wrong on that?
I don't think it has anything to do with it. I
Really?
really no. No.
Okay.
Do you I mean, let's say we changed baseball to 7 innings. Would it make somebody hit less? No. I'm sorry. You either want to win or you don't want to win, whether it's 3 rounds or 4 rounds. So what you're saying is the PGA Tour, to separate themselves even more, should play 5 rounds, because that would make it even more now. Because we play, well, then we'll play six. Maybe to play the Masters, we ought to play an 8 round tournament, because 8 rounds means more. No, doesn't, no, sorry.
Okay. The other side of my comment about that ain't golf and 400 yard plus drives, and there's many others out there, by the way, that are in the high threes. I mean, look at that drive Cam Young made back at the what, the Players? Huh.
Yes.
That last drive, I mean, it was stunning.
And we know what kind of ball he is using, don't we?
And he was using a test ball for a rollback ball. But, and so that's my comment. Even if they roll the ball back today, it's only 12 or 15 yards. Isn't that what your research has said, Bob?
Yes.
It's not going to affect their game at all, Craig, is it?
No, it's not going to help. It's not going to do anything to those tour players. Not a bit.
And every single amateur player on the earth who wants to use and play and feel the same equipment, from clubs to putters to balls, even apparel, are going to buy that ball. There's not going to be
And
any
yet
bifurcation.
the average person will never tell a difference either, because they don't hit the ball very solid very often.
And they don't
And
hit the ball very solid. You're right. So
Craig, I have
this,
a question for you
go
on this.
ahead. Go.
Craig, Bryson was talking about his dream is to get a 200 mile per hour swing speed, which is absolutely idiotic and ridiculous if he comes close to it. And that was a new driver he was using this week. My question to you, Craig, is, have you ever found what is maybe the average amateur swing speed out there for the amateur?
Well, I mean, if you do the average amateur, it's probably close to 80, 84, 85 miles an hour at most. By the time you get in, all the young guys that are swinging now 105 to, 195, and you got the old guys swinging at 75 to 65. So it's somewhere in that 80, 85 miles an hour, probably. So, you're at a 210 drive. So, okay.
Johnny Jones on the street in Boca Raton wants to get the same driver as Bryson DeChambeau. He ain't going to hit it that
Nope.
anywhere close, but he
Nope.
wants to have that club.
Well, absolutely. Let's look at below the cut line. Cut line five, plus five. I
Right
tell you,
now it's plus
this,
four.
or
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
I was
sorry.
going to
I'm
say,
sorry.
I don't know if it'll
I'm
stay
sorry.
there.
Okay. Well,
Right
you've
now,
got
four. Yeah.
Koepka, better do something quick. Cam Smith, the same. Hovland is out. Dylan Wu better do something. He's got time. DeChambeau out at plus five. Billy Horschel, Reitan, our new favorite player, one of them, wearing Squares golf shoes, by the way, which we really applaud that. I'm so glad to see Squares out on the PGA Tour. Patrick Reed, Sepp Straka, my buddy. So there's a lot of great players. Cantlie, Lowry, Jon Rahm, six over. Adam Scott at seven over. My gosh. What
JJ
is
Spahn, defending champion, is going to miss the cut.
going to miss the cut? And the re GMAC is 900 over. I don't know if he can come back. He's got some holes, but
He was in the lead early yesterday.
I watched every bit of it on
The
Thursday.
one that really got me, guys, was Dustin Johnson making the cut.
Bustin' Dustin Johnson. And I think that's very, very cool. So, you look at it, there's great players there. There are many that are not. Fowler still has a bunch of golf. Spieth has done at three. DJ is done at three over. There's just a lot. What is this with Joaquin Niemann? He throws a club and gets assessed a two-stroke penalty. Now, is that there've been a lot of other players that have broken things and they didn't get those penalties, Bob?
They uncorked their policy on this week for this guy.
Yeah, I guess they did. Craig, is that correct when others get away with a lot worse?
Well, I mean, yeah, somebody saw it, whatever, it's, they say what, you're not cheating unless you get caught, I mean, there's a lot of people that do a lot of things, they don't call them on it. I think that the thing to truthfully be paying attention to is he shot 78 yesterday and shot 65. Dustin Johnson yesterday shot, what did he shoot, 66, and today he shoots, what was
77.
it,
77.
77. I mean, so you got the best golfers in the world that have 11 and 12 shots difference per round, and yet everybody that goes out and plays this weekend thinks they ought to shoot the same number every time they go out there.
Well,
And you got the best golfers in the world not doing it anywhere close.
you're right. You absolutely 100% good point. And I also want to add to that point that maybe part of the reason, help me here, guys, is that they're going off at different times. You've got your morning rounds, and that golf course and the conditions are different than the afternoon rounds.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And so, therefore, stuff is going to happen. And by the next day, when they switch round times, it may not affect their scores at all. But when they went out on either one of those days, it did. How fair is that, Craig?
Well, I mean, it's been that way for many, many moons in golf.
Well, yeah, forever.
If they don't like it, then they can go play on LIV and they all tee off at the same time.
Shotgun start.
Yep.
Shotgun start. Rory McIlroy threw I'm looking at his score here. He finished up pretty good. Colin is playing okay. Shoffley is at 3 under. Matt Fitzpatrick at 3 under. Who is Sam Steve? Who in the Sam Stevens is he, Bob?
Sam Stevens, yes. Well, he's from Wichita, Kansas, and he is just really. Just looking at the profile for just a moment, and just give me a second here. Yes, he was an Oklahoma State standout, which a great place to come from for golf and college golf.
And
And
wind and wind.
yes, oh yes, absolutely. And he has been. He finished runner-up in the Farmers to Ludwig Åberg and to Kurt Kitayama at the 3M Open. He was runner-up in the 2023 Rivera-Lero Texas Open.
Okay. Now let's have a look at some of these different players, and then I've got to go to a break here in just a moment. But if Wyndham Clark sits at 7 under, and Scottie Scheffler is where he is, how far back? Because Scottie stands to win the career Grand Slam and everything else. By the way, did you see his press the other day, presser the other day about this, winning the career Grand Slam? If he
Yeah, he
won the
could care
tournament,
less, right?
he could care less. Ho hum. Now, you know he will eventually likely win this. I mean, unless he's snake bit like Palmer was with the PGA and like Phil was with the US Open. Rory was snake bit for many long years with the Masters, but came through. I've got to believe that Scottie wins the US Open, but nonetheless, you're right. He was very ho-hum about it. Anyway, how far back, halfway through this golf tournament, is too far, Craig?
One over.
Bob?
I put it about right there, yeah. And I will tell you that there's people who've been four back. Right now we had four back. Those that have come back to one and who have been four down. This is quite a list. Ernie Els, Hale Irwin, Ray Floyd, Lee Trevino, and Orville Moody since 1968.
All right, we're going to go to break in just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. We have our favorites. I know that Craig will give one or two of his favorites to win. As Bob will and I will. If you have a favorite, write to me, golfadams@msn.com. That gets you on all my big email list for all of my information and gift guides and everything coming out all through the year. Golfadams@msn.com. Make sure you write to me and say, "Hey, Ray," and you're automatically going to be added to the list. I'm going to be back in just a moment. These are great sponsors, and they make these shows happen for all these years. Thank you so much to our sponsors. And of course, it's all for you, the listeners, that this happens so that you're the most educated, entertained, enlightened, and, well, having the most fun on these golf shows, some of the longest running golf radio shows, podcast shows now in the United States of America. What a privilege and honor to be a part of that. Let's go 25 more, 26 more. All right. Back in a moment. Have a listen.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
Greetings and welcome back. Great American Golf is right here on the air right now. Ray Adams is with you. That would be your humble correspondent. Thank you so much for staying with me. Or if you're just joining now, Dr. Bob Denny, the PGA of America historian emeritus, and Mr. Craig Renshaw, our lifetime member, 25 years, surpassing that massive career goal as one of America's best PGA professionals out there. And thank you, gentlemen, for staying with me through the break and being with me. Let's pick who we love. Do we love this week? Because I think with the weather changes, I think that with it being a U.S. Open, I think with it being Shinnecock, I think with the stress and the pressure and the guts that it takes, I think the failures of various shots and the scar tissue that is left over, I think that anybody within 10 shots can win this golf tournament, because the first few players can falter and come back two or three or four. Somebody could go out and shoot a 64, five or six. All of a sudden, we got a big time golf tournament. Where am I going wrong, Craig? 10 seconds.
I just think 10 shots back. It's possible, but you got to pass a lot of golfers. And I just don't know if it's possible to pass that many golfers.
Well, they've got to come back, that's for sure. I mean, Wyndham, you know, some people have got to be coming back to this. Bob?
I think Shinnecock will rise up and say, "Hello, guys. Welcome back to Shinnecock on the week in the weekend." In 1975, I was working at the Amana VIP Pro-Am in Iowa City, Iowa, and the leaders of the U.S. Open were not there. John Mahaffey and Lou Graham. Lou Graham was 11 strokes behind. He caught up and they had a playoff on Monday. 11 strokes. I don't think it's even close to that. I think someone within five shots has the option this week.
I do too, and I can't wait to get the take on a former U.S. Open champion. I am in contact with four of them. They were all on my television show over the years, and we're dealing with schedules. And, these are busy people, busy men, and I can't wait to see if we can get one of them on Monday or even during the week if I can record an interview. We'll lay that into the show a week from today, the next Saturday's Great American Golf Show, as we continue to do wraps both this Monday on Great America on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, and next Saturday on Great American Golf, we'll do a big U.S. Open wrap on that. I also want to say, coming back from the break, that I want to remember a couple of people. One of them is Peter Longo. Peter Longo was my co-host on this show. He was my very first guest I ever had on the very first show. Talk about a lifetime member of the PGA of America, Craig. You know Peter, knew Peter. And Peter was one of the world's greatest trick shot artists. He played on the tour for a couple of years, realized that he just wasn't that quite good enough. And then the lifestyle and what it took, he turned his attention to helping the military charities. He became the world's most leading authority, and the PGA of America helped him to develop all the materials. Sergio Garcia, for decades, sent him over to Spain to teach the Spanish golf professionals. What am I talking about? All about how you teach golf to people that are physically challenged. Peter created CDs about it, books about it, training materials about it. It was one of his life's great passions. He was an accomplished singer and musician, many times playing with his brother, an accomplished pianist and singer. Coming out of Chicago, both of them, and playing many times here in the Valley at different resorts. Peter was an excellent writer, a poet. Peter was one of the most talented people I have ever known. The camera loved him. And I think everybody loved Peter Longo. And I miss him about every day. He died 6 years ago on this day. And we remember Peter. And this past week, another friend of mine on my television show a number of years ago, a stand-up comedian that opened for Frank Sinatra for, I believe, 13 or 14 years. Starting and coming out of Chicago on my television show, the stories he has and he could tell, and that he did tell on my TV show, Match Play with Ray Adams, unbelievable. We're going into the archives for that classic, and we're going to rebroadcast that TV show. I'm talking about the great Tom Dreesen. Now, so many of you may not know who Tom Dreesen is. Look him up. Dreesen, Tom Dreesen, on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, on so many different TV shows, an actor as well. But maybe the most famous for putting on his big charity golf invitational tournament, playing in Sinatra's invitational golf tournament in the Palm Springs area where I first met Tom and put him on camera. Tom Dreesen. We miss you. I loved the guy. I just talked to him on the phone about, it was about 8 months ago. I called him and he had given me his number, as so many do. And I said, "Hey, Tom, got to get you on the show. Ray, I'd love to be on. I'm busy doing this show and that show, and I'm going here and there, but come back to me and I'll come back on." Well, I waited and I shouldn't have. And now he has gone on to be with the Lord, and he's a great one. And so we miss him. Tom Dreesen. And remembering Peter Longo. All right, on Monday's show, we're going to be having Mike Boland. What an inspiration he is, born without a right hand, going back to becoming a professional bowler again on tour. So many other things about Mike Boland, also the subject of one of my TV shows. And we also have Mark Podell is coming on with us. Mark is the owner of the Back Nine Golf, indoor golf. held at a wonderful 72 degrees temperature 24/7. They're open with your own card to get in, as various levels of membership await you. Mark is coming on with Back Nine to talk all about it. The franchise that he owns and opened with his wife, Peggy, here in Anthem, Arizona. And yes, there's franchises around the country. That will be on the Monday show with who I hope will join us, one of those great US Open champions. Okay. Let me come back to you guys. Jim Furyk was in the booth, I guess, the other day during the fog delay. And of course, when you have a rain delay or fog delay, you don't expect it. So you have to figure out all these different things to say and do. They had the USGA's rules official up in the booth with them going over some rules. And Jim Furyk, as I read the article, was pretty surprised to learn that during the fog delay and other delays, you are able to practice on the green that you just finished. Furyk didn't know it. Did you know that, Craig?
I did not.
I was surprised because there you are finishing up a hole, and because of the delay, you're able to practice on the green. The only thing you can't do is go in the bunker. I read about it. Bob, did you know about this or read about this?
Yeah, a couple times.
I did not know about it. Enlarge on it for us a little bit. When did they come up with this?
Well, it's how do you explain it? It's not so much a local rule as it's just part of the rules of golf that when you're not holding up play,
Right.
basically.
Yeah,
That
it's
that's
not a
the
local rule. You're right.
no. It is part of the rules of golf, but as long as you're not holding up play, and you are completely what's the word stuck in the rain in the train depot, so to speak, on a golf course. You can do that to try to keep moving and not be stale and that kind of thing. So it's a new part of what do you call it, the decisions of golf.
Well, all right. Somebody's asked me about Colin Morikawa. Craig, let me go with you. What about his game has turned around? And he sets there finishing last night at on Friday night at 2 under.
Colin, a very solid ball striker, so Shinnecock fits him. I know he's worked hard on his putting, and he's won earlier in the year. And if his putting's up to shape,
Yeah.
Colin is, he's got a chance. I mean, there's no doubt, and he's showing it. It's just whether or not it'll show up for the whole weekend or not. So, but he's as good at ball strike as there is out there in his distance control. So, in the wind and as solid as he hits it, he's showing that he should be up near the top.
Well, look at all of the people on the leaderboard, Bob and Craig, Bob with you first, who are major champions. Look at that leaderboard and what we're looking at. Wyndham Clark, although they said, well, LA Country Club was kind of easy. I don't know that there's really any US Open that is easy to win. Okay, maybe it was a little bit, less challenging. I'll let you two comment on it. I was there. So
But it's
when,
wide. Shinnecock is wide, just like LA Country Club was this year.
yeah, they widened the fairways. They wanted to give them a chance to get in the fairway. Although Bryson knows how to bomb and gouge, now he doesn't know how to do that this week, but we'll talk about that in a second. And then you got Matt Fitzpatrick. He knows how to win a US Open. Colin certainly knows how to win majors. JT knows how to win majors. So does Rory. I don't know. What are we going to do with Tommy Fleetwood?
Well, I'll tell you what, he is holding on better than I thought he would at this point. And Ludwig, our ball striker, he can't buy a putt. He cannot buy a putt. And Justin Thomas, it's good to see him contend again, keep going to contend. Xander's the one in the group that surprises me the most at the top. And Matt Fitzpatrick was my original pick before the show started.
Yes, it was. And do you have a pick, Craig?
I didn't really have one, but we can pick one. I mean, so You know, I truthfully, I think Justin Thomas looks really good right now. He
Do
looks
you
very comfortable.
really?
I don't know that he can come back and win it or go deep enough to get it there, but he looks very, very comfortable right now. I do. I said to myself, and I kind of pinched myself because I don't say a whole lot of great things about Justin Thomas, but he looked really good hitting balls and the way he's standing over it. And like, oh, all right, good to see.
Shoffley, Bob.
Shoffley, that's the my big surprise right there. But what a great second round he had over the week for the, on Friday. He had a 66th. You can't ignore any like that, and especially Morikawa with a 65 coming back like that. But like I said, this is the moment when Shinnecock wakes up from the darkness and from the dust and so forth. They say, "Hello, folks. We're ready to play game now. Now we're on, you know."
So Shinnecock is going to be the one to beat, and we know that golf is played against the golf course, and yourself and the elements, not other players, but it can turn into match play, and you do play against the other great players during this tournament golf. But it is going to be the story, I think, has been so far and will continue to be Shinnecock.
We got to remember that. Remember back to, I was kind of, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Xander's won two majors, folks, and so is Morikawa. So it's not that they're unseasoned.
There are other stories that are coming out of and from this US Open. Bob, has there been one that has captured your attention and that you think the folks want to know about?
Harry Higgs arriving at the golf course on Thursday with shorts and had to borrow pants. His wife got them back in time, but not in time. So he was walking around and he shot a 71 in someone else's pants. And he can make shots. He missed a ton of putts on Friday mid round, and he's going to come in and make the cut. Looks like a two under. So he's a factor. He's fun to watch. And I think their nickname is the Big Rig, they call him.
The big rig, and he made about a 100-footer off the green today from out in the fairway. And what a obviously, if you stood there and hit 100 more of those, Craig, you wouldn't make it. It's blind luck with a big portion of skill, of course. But I think if he stands there and shoots another 100, he would never make that putt. Do you?
No, I wouldn't think so, but you don't have to make it more than once. So that's
That's
all that
right.
matters.
That's it. It only matters that you made it once and that you made it at the right time and place. So congrats. Congrats to Harry Higgs. I like him. So I got to ask this question, though. Did Harry wake up in another planet and decide to go to the US Open in short pants, Bob?
He got up early with extra alarms, they said, and then he had a brain misfire right there from probably at the moment.
But I put on pants 1,000 times, Craig. And I can tell you that when I put the legs through the shorts, I know they're shorts. And when I can do it in the dark, and I have a million times, or the long pants, I'm telling you, I know what I've got on my body. Now, how in the Sam, what did I say? How in the Sam Hill? Let's just say Sam Hill. It's a famous place in Prescott. How in the world do you not know you've got on short pants, Craig?
Well, I think he's not thinking about how he got to the golf course. A lot of those guys dress one way and then get dressed at the clubhouse now. And he obviously forgot something when he got there. I mean, that's so many of them. They either you see, I mean, that's what's interesting about watching them before the event. And some of them show up in t-shirts and work out there, and then you got some of them that are dressed like golfers and some. So it wouldn't surprise me if, and he might have thought he left clothes in his locker. Who knows?
Is there an actual rule? I'm being asked. Thank you, listener, for asking. Is there an actual USGA rule that when you play in a USGA championship, you must wear long pants?
It's a tour rule.
What tour?
The PGA Tour.
But this is not a PGA Tour. Well, it's a PGA Tour event on their schedule, But this is a USGA event
It's
owned, operated.
managed by the USGA, but all tour professionals on the PGA Tour who hold a card
Must
have
wear.
to
Okay.
must have the proper attire.
Okay, good. Thanks for clarifying that. And we will, you know, well, because I know, don't the young people playing in the USAM, don't they wear short pants?
They can wear shorts or pants.
That's because it's an amateur.
Well, it's not a tour event, so therefore.
Correct.
Okay. Very good.
Scottie Scheffler wore pants all through his junior years.
Yeah. What about the Shinnecock Golf Course itself, historically, as far as going back to when it was built and the clubhouse? What about that, Bob?
Well, it's still the oldest incorporated golf course and golf clubhouse in existence. It's one of five original golf courses in the United States history. Started in 1896 was the first U.S. Open and first major on the golf course, and I think they had something in the neighborhood of, I want to say, under 20 contestants. The Scottish and UK entrants, some of the big names back then were on protest because they didn't want to have John Shippen contesting with them in the field. And John Shippen was the first American club professional, born club professional, who was black. And he, at one point, was a stroke from the lead. And he could have really turned history around had not he. But the USGA defended that and said, look, we're going to let everybody play, or else Mr. Shippen and his partner are going to play by themselves. That ended the protest right there.
Well, good for them. I love that. Bob, you come up with stuff. I'll tell you what, it's fabulous. All right, guys, I am going to give us the final word. Craig, take a minute or so. Give us your final word on watching the event this week. Maybe what? Oh, wait. There is a question that came in from a listener, and I have it actually in my production notes too. How has this diabolical hole, number 11, been doing? And what do you make of it, Craig?
Tough hole. I think it's done fine. Like I said, they've managed the golf course very well so far. I have no complaints with how this golf course has been set up so far.
Bob, number 11.
Excuse me. Well, it's I think it's set up to be a shortest par five, but it is tricky, very tricky. And the USGA doesn't do anything without some kind of plan in mind. So I'm all for it. Excuse me.
Well, anything to give the players fits during a U.S. Open to bring out, and I think somebody said this many long years ago, the U.S. Open is set up and plays to identify the greatest golfer in the world that week. It is not to embarrass the golfers. However, we know that over the years and the decades, the U.S. Open has embarrassed a lot of players, brought them to their knees, caused scar tissue, Craig. How do you play along with scar tissue when you're at a US Open and you've already had some bad experiences?
You just move on to the next hole because somebody's going to have it too.
I don't know. We've watched it over the years, we've spoken about it over the years, and it just does happen. And I think amateurs love to see it. They like to see the greatest players in the world struggle and scramble and try to get a a par even, or even a bogey is good sometimes. Number 11 is a par three, less than 160 yards, giving these players. They fear this hole.
Yes.
And it is called, Bob, you said it, it's called the shortest par five, because you can get a par five on number 11 in a heartbeat.
Right.
And for what reasons, though? What is the main thing about number 11 that is just so fearful to the golf
Well,
course.
it can be stretched to 250 if they really want to get diabolical, but it's not. And it has the green is only 4,280 square feet. So it's the smallest putting surface on the property.
Well, and then the slope and the undulations and where you can't miss it, and you do miss it, Craig.
Yeah, it's a great little hole. And they can change it a lot, which is a sign of a good hole. They can play it at so many different yardages, and whether it's upwind, downwind, crosswind, I mean that's what you look for in a lot of holes, and that's what Shinnecock gives you.
Well, and the thing about number 11, it's, I think the name of the hole is called Hillhead because it sets up on a hill, which means it takes all the wind, all the weather, it gets all of that. So that makes it even more difficult. And I can't wait to be watching this tournament over the next 2 days. I can't wait to see how it unfolds. I'm excited. If I have to go out, I record that part of it and come back and watch it. So we're going to have a lot of fun watching golf. The ladies will mention real quickly, Bob, are at the Meyer Classic, and it's been fun to turn over and watch a little bit of that on my broadcast studio monitor.
Right.
And so we will wrap up the ladies on the LPGA going on as well. All right, guys, thank you so very much for joining today.
Thanks, Ray.
I'm going to mention a few of my wonderful sponsors, and I'm going to encourage everybody to make sure that they hydrate correctly. Now, it's one thing to drink a lot of water. It's another thing to drink it at the right timing of your rounds when you're outside or anything you're doing, from golf to tennis to pickleball, hiking, boating, sunbathing, laying around by the pool, swimming. I mean, we could go on and on with the sports, but the outdoor open space time requires that you wear sunscreen. Folks, you don't want to know my story, and I'm not going to elaborate on it. I can only tell you that I never had any problem with my skin any one time, hardly ever became ever sick about anything, rarely got the cold or the flu my entire life until the last couple of 2 or 3 years. My allergies started really coming in, as some of you know, and you could hear it on different shows. I was hoarse or just not quite 100% on the allergy side. My allergist doctor has helped me. But it's the dermatologist that has really made a big, big, big impact in my life. Because a couple of years ago, they did find a piece of skin cancer, and I had to go in and have surgery on the back of my head. It was rather invasive, not fun. And I've also had to have them scrape for biopsies numerous places over the last couple of years. And last week, well, a little over a week ago, they actually scraped five different places. I got the report back that I have to have an operation to remove two of those places, which are precancerous, and they want to make sure they don't go any further. So I will have a very special surgery on both of those places called a Mohs surgery, MOH. As after, I believe, the doctor that invented this type of skin cancer surgery. And then there's two other places that they are going to dig out. They won't actually do stitches, but they're going to go in with a shovel and they're going to dig them out to prevent any future growth. So I'm dealing with it. And I can tell you, folks, if you're not wearing your sunscreen, and make sure you wear a quality sunscreen with a very, very high SPF. There are so many recommendations, and I'm trying and working on getting a doctor on about not just hydration, but a dermatologist on also about your skin, the largest organ in your body. So when you're hydrating, make sure you use electrolytes with minerals and vitamins, not just water. Be careful of those adult beverages because they will dehydrate you out there as you're outside with your sports activities, especially golf. Wait till you're finished and go into the 19th hole and settle up your little time together. We'll leave it at that. And if you're going to have an adult cocktail or a beer, have fine. Have at it. Enjoy. But be careful out as you're exercising, as you're playing all of your different sports, folks, to make sure that you're using the correct sunscreen and make sure that you are hydrating correctly. That's my word for you today. Have a wonderful weekend. Can't wait to come back to you on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, as well as some wonderful guests coming up from some of our new sponsors. I've got to say thank you to Mr. Young Kim, the inventor and innovator of InnoX1 and the F1 single rider golf cart. What a wonderful, wonderful single rider machine that is, the world's first one. He's located with his new stores open in San Juan Capistrano, and you can go there to InnoX1 and find out all about it. I want to also thank CertaFresh Cigar, one of my longtime year in and year out great sponsors. Thank you so much, CertaFresh Cigar, at CertaFreshCigar.com, where they guarantee you certified fresh those cigars for up to one full year, because they have a proprietary way of humidifying in their own individual packages by a company who powers them named Boveda, the greatest for humidification. They're in over 3,000 golf shops and other shops, sports shops and everything around the country. I'm helping them get into more. Make sure you go to CertaFreshCigar.com. Father's Day, there you go. All of these are Father's Day gifts. And I want to also thank, I've already talked about Mark Podell at the Back Nine Golf here in Anthem. And I've also got to thank Tour Edge at touredge.com, my many years great sponsor. Thank you so much. Make sure you go to touredge.com. Have a look at the new putter. And then Ashworth Golf Apparel. That's right. Ashworth Golf Apparel. I'm honored, proud, and I get so many compliments on my Ashworth Golf Apparel. Folks, if you're wearing Ashworth golf apparel, you're wearing a part of golf history. And then I want to thank Squares Golf Shoes, Squairz, squares.com. Again, with me for so many years. You're going to see these folks in my America's 250th birthday gift guide and more new sponsors that are coming on board to be in that special gift guide. You can write to me, golfadams@msn.com. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe out there. Have fun. Keep it cool if you're in a hot area, and make sure you hydrate and sunscreen yourself.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.